What about those Winnipeg Jets? Okay. I think last time I was up here, I talked a little bit about hockey too. Last year, around this time, talked a little bit about the Winnipeg Jets, and they lost to Anaheim in the playoffs. But I've got a question. How many of you guys are going to watch the Jets game this afternoon versus the Minnesota Wild? Okay. Oh, there is a couple diehards. How many of you would have watched the Jets last year at this time? Yeah, quite a bit. There's a few more. Yeah. Not much hope in the Winnipeg Jets this year. Last year, there was hope. And this year, they're an old story. They're an old story. But those Washington Capitals, now they are worth putting our hope in, eh? No. Today's message is called False Expectations in Faith. And it is specifically addressed to the believing church. Dearly beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. I'd like to start off with the Lord's Prayer. It's the version that's in the Pew Bibles. It's page 970. If you wish, you can join me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So there are two reasons why I wanted to start with the Lord's Prayer. First reason is I wanted to align and us to align with God. And secondly, after today, I might need your forgiveness. So I was just setting the stage. And as I was preparing for today, topic is suffering, at least if you look at the key verse that's in the bulletin. Ironically, I don't refer to it at all during the message, but that was a starting point as I started preparing. It says, the pain that you've been feeling can't compare to the joy that's coming, Romans 8:18. And as I hashed through that topic, I found that it was a pretty complex topic, at least to me. And throughout the week, I was trying to gain explicit clarity and to be plain. But as I was reminded, as I read through Christ's words and scriptures, he often wasn't very explicitly clear and plain. And he would say things like, they will be ever seeing and never perceiving. And when Jesus was asked why he would talk in parables, he often would say, I did that so that they wouldn't understand in turn. So, if you don't understand, and if you don't follow me, I can just say exactly what Christ said, and we'll never know. John 6:25-34. I want to start by reading that. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get there? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. So they asked him, what signs then will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said, Sir, always give us this bread. I want to provoke you, I want to challenge you, and I want to ground you. So I've made a statement that I hope does exactly that. If you are hoping to find security in your earthly gains, you will be sadly disappointed. If you are counting and expecting God to improve your earthly circumstance, your health, your success, your earthly fortunes, if you are praying earnestly with big expectations for God to give you an increase, to save you from earthly loss, folks, you will never experience peace and security, rest and ultimate fulfillment on the basis of your earthly circumstance. Ultimately, you will find yourself in a misalignment with God's will. You will find yourself in constant tension between your self-will and His will. Flesh and spirit are at odds. There is nothing secure in this world, nothing certain, and no treasure to find here on earth. Everything that is seen is temporary, and the end will be lost. Possibly the most difficult reality is the very fact that we and our loved ones will all experience physical death at some point. We are currently living in an earthly tent, and our physical bodies will break down and eventually perish. Guys, let's be honest with ourselves here today. Some here today will lose a loved one this upcoming year. In the future, some will experience cancer, heart problems, disease, depression, family members with depression, some will recover, and some won't. Some will experience financial difficulty, bankruptcy, loss of jobs. We could sit here, we could make a list that is endless of all of the things that are possible in the way of pain, suffering, and trial. It is a reality. It is a reality. We live in an insecure world that cannot offer security and stability. And before we suggest that God is limiting our blessing when we happen to find ourselves in poor circumstance, let's be reminded of Jesus' teachings in Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Jesus did not say, blessed are those with great circumstance. He didn't say, blessed are those with great circumstance. Paul says in Philippians, if someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Paul says this in Philippians. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regards to a law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on law, faultless. And then he says, but whatever gains, to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. The expectations we place on God are a direct reflection of our core values and beliefs. Are we seeking the fleeting pleasures of life, the comforts and the earthly gains, or are we seeking God's will? Are we serving self-purpose or serving His purpose? Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose and His plan. Jesus says, what good is it to gain the whole world and to lose your soul? What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Are you expecting God to give you an earthly increase? What are you expecting? Excuse me, I've got a cold a little bit, so struggling a little bit. And one thing that is absolutely essential to understanding expectations, our expectations, and our types of expectations, is to understand, it's totally essential that we understand the source of our expectations are a direct result of the source of our righteousness. And to help understand this, I want to examine two kingdoms. Kingdom number one. Kingdom number one is a kingdom that creates false hope or terminal expectations, leaves one deceived. This kingdom flows out of a terminal type of ministry that brought condemnation and death. And it is only possible for this belief system to see within the parameters of one's flesh and earthly existence. This is the ministry that leaves one spiritually blind and impoverished in and of itself. It is non-spiritual. You guessed it. Old covenant, law-based religion. Self-righteousness based on works and law earned righteousness for terminal reward. The very terminal, perishable reality of old covenant law is it can only leave one in spiritual blindness with a limited vision. It's only able to serve self and earthly purpose. It can simply be summarized as basic worldview, seeking all that it recognizes. Expectations created having only earthly terminal gains and reward in mind, and serves only earthly or self purpose. It is totally impossible for this view to see outside of self and beyond the world. It is confined to the flesh. It is impossible to align with heaven under the umbrella of law-based old covenant belief system. Righteousness by law. It's impossible to align with heaven. Your mind remains governed by the flesh. And if this ministry dominates, if this ministry is left as an ends, as the final, heaven's gates are closed. Heaven's gates are closed. This kingdom is terminal in and of itself. A few scripture backings talk a little bit about old kingdom. Romans 7, 9 to 11. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment, put me to death. 2 Corinthians 3, 13 to 15. We are not like Moses, who could put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ it is taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. And finally, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant and not of the letter. Letters etched on stone. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills. For the letter kills. Old covenant, terminal, flesh, earthly gains, earthly treasure, earthly reward, misaligned, cannot see beyond worldview. Impossible. You cannot see outside of the world. You cannot see out of yourself if you are following and if we and our core belief is based on works. If our righteousness is based on works, that is all there is. That's all there is. But if we understand the scriptures, remember when I said jets are an old story? Okay. Old covenant, obsolete. New covenant, made new. Much better covenant. Old covenant flows into the new covenant, and thank you, God, for kingdom number two. It's based on Christ's heavenly righteousness. Kingdom two is an eternal kingdom with endless spiritual vision, with limitless possibility and heavenly divine purpose. You guessed it, the new covenant belief system, this kingdom sustains and flows out of eternal promises and guarantees that are based on Christ's perfect once and for all sacrifice. New covenant faith recognizes Christ's righteousness, having already reconciled those that freely receive the abundant offer of righteousness, and it aligns them with heaven. New covenant believer accepts Christ's perfect righteousness as their own and does not strive to establish and work for righteousness. New covenant faith leaves one with a living, eternal hope and eternal heavenly expectations. Old covenant, earthly expectations. New covenant, heavenly expectations. Because we are on a different platform. Heaven's gates swing wide open and the chains are broken. The chains are broken because heaven has opened on account of the new covenant, swings wide open, and death has no mastery. Death has lost and love has won in Jesus Christ. Death has lost and love has won, and we once again are realigned with heaven. New covenant faith manifests spiritual blessing. It bears a life of fruit and eternal hope through the trials of life and death physically. That is new covenant hope based on the 100% righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we're receiving that righteousness as our own. It's a heavenly righteousness. Our self-righteousness, our dirty rags, they won't enter the kingdom of heaven. New covenant people have a platform of promises that we work off of. And I'm going to read four, and there's probably more. But as a new covenant people, we have freedom from condemnation and death. In Romans 8:1, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life sets you free from this law of sin and death. We are free from condemnation and death. We have peace and we have hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. That's Romans 5. Ephesians, spiritual blessings in Christ and adoption to sonship. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his will and with his pleasure. And finally, we are marked in Ephesians, we are marked and sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance. We have inheritance. We have eternal inheritance in the new covenant. It says, verse 13, and you also were included in Christ Jesus when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him, a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions, to the praise of his glory. Brothers and sisters, we have a living hope that is eternal. And we live according to the promises that the new covenant offers. And our gains are not gains. They're not terminal gains. Because if we're here for terminal gains, man, I don't know. Then I don't know why we're here. If we're here for terminal gains, that's a sad deal. Dearly beloved, it is Jesus Christ and Christ alone that is your heavenly gains and your endless portion. Let Jesus be your increase. Let Jesus be your increase. True treasure is only found in Jesus Christ. to close and read three passages. You'll recognize them. Matthew, treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And finally, John 6, finishing off where I started. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up on the last day. Thank you.
Well, we have been blessed and we're turning blessing to the Lord in this song. Hope you recognize the connection between those two final songs and the message that we just heard. I sense Travis trying to draw our hearts and our eyes upon Christ and his eternal kingdom that will in turn help us to keep focus, keep perspective on all those earthly blessings that God gives us as well and puts us in responsibility for. What do you do with a message like this? Well, maybe the minimum is that you maybe just would desire prayer for yourself. Encouraging prayer. Travis loves to pray with and for people. He's available. Others of us are available as well. Don't leave this place with just a desire that has kind of been sparked, and now you just go home and kind of let that spark die out. If there's a sparking in you this morning of any sort, then nail that down by coming to Travis and letting him pray for you so that spark will turn into a wildfire, a good fire in your life and continue to burn till the Lord returns. Let's pray together. Father, we've been reminded that we all have some desert places, sometimes on a weekly basis, sometimes on an occasional basis to work through. The death of a loved one, such as Merle's mother passing away. Give your peace, your comfort, and perspective, eternal perspective. Some of our struggles are of a completely different nature, Lord, with our colleagues at work, with things to master related to our work and daily lives. Sometimes at home, struggles in raising children, in leading our marriages in a good way, and many other challenges, Lord. And sometimes they can become desert places. Lead us to the water that is eternal at those times, Lord. Help us not to rely on ourselves and our ingenuity, our abilities, but in those desert times, draw us deeper and deeper into yourself, Lord Jesus, so we will draw from you, the Eternal One, the waters that gush into eternal life. And that also help us to become a blessing that flow, waters that flow into the lives of other people, those close around us, our neighbors, our colleagues, friends, and even those that might be somewhat of an enemy to us. So we commit ourselves to you, Lord. What an amazing time to spend together this morning. You have been good to us. Help us to deepen our faith, to look to you, the author and finisher, completer of our faith. We praise and thank you. Amen. God be with you. Have a wonderful week.